7 quarters on the dresser, pennies in the sock drawer, a framed picture of paradise taken the summer before. I learned to love cold showers, Frost learns to kiss, not bite, especially in the winter. I was alone every night. Tomorrow, tomorrow. Yesterday and the time before. Opportunity comes knocking on my neighbor's door. So loud I can't sleep anymore. See, seasons come, seasons go. Oh, when is the season of love? I don't know. We get wrapped up in a moment like a gift to the soul. Then it's gone and time goes so. Then I took a trip in September, 'cause I was ready for a fall, to leave the trees and me to ponder the meaning of it all, with red, brown, yellow and green, and all the space in between. You know, this earth is so deep and wide, why can't I feel that inside?
Brutal Brunch with your hosts Matt Moore and Matt Mastromaro.
What do any of you know about being brutal?
Featuring Massachusetts metal and punk.
You know those lyrics about hell, demons, and doom? What if I told you it's all real?
WMFO Medford.
What the prime time, bitch?
Take away. And welcome to Brutal Brunch, back at our normally scheduled time slot. 9 o'clock, Sunday mornings. First show of the new year.
It's freezing. It's -6 outside.
We got meteorologist Matt.
Ugh, it's disgusting.
Breaking news, it's cold out.
I'm on the wrong side of the table due to clowns. I don't have to go over there anyway at some point.
Yep. All right, so we are back as we have been most of last fall before we got to our special Christmas Eve edition and then our New Year's countdown.
Unbelievable.
A big smashing success, which was
the follow from the New Year's countdown. First of all, Less Than Jake retweeted the Menzingers are now headlining as far as I'm concerned. Boston Calling.
Yep, lineup is out.
We're going to get our own Massachusetts Wacken Outdoor Metal Fest. Starring creator. I mean, a lot of things happened in the last week.
A lot of things in the works. We looked it up. It's cheaper to buy tickets to Wacken than it is to Boston Calling.
I said that. If you translate that. Germany or whatever.
Yeah, well, that's true. Not including transportation. And, I forgot to bring the story. Oh, no. But maybe other things that have been happening are one of our favorite targets. The mayor of Melrose is no longer the mayor of Melrose.
I'm very neutral on the mayor.
Oh, no. It's just he's come up a lot.
That's true.
We've read the police report. We've got a couple new items to get to. And he's no longer. And, I mean, if you connect the dots, just like Halloween is doing their super tour this year.
Yeah, the dots. Who's the most powerful Brunch show on the air?
All right, and you're very excited about some anime. Do you want to talk about that now?
I want to talk about Devilman. There's a new series, Devilman Crybaby, on Netflix. Devilman is, as a kid, so I'm 33. So, as a kid, it's, one of the things that came out in the 80s on OVA, which is, you would get it in... a huge VHS or a laser disc in the early 2000s, or a DVD in the early 2000s, which is how I saw it.
Yeah.
But basically, Devilman is based on a manga from Go Nagai, who did Mazinger, a big robot anime, which is actually more popular. But basically, the concept is humans fused with a demon. There's a demon realm. There's a human realm.
Sounds unique.
It's not. Well, it's what it is. This is the basis for a lot of the tropes that went forward in that, because this is from the 70s. But what's crazy, what's cuckoo bananas, is it's a series, in a show. You can watch all the OVAs on YouTube for free, just free, whatever. And then the fact that someone at Netflix is this is an IP that people care about, which is obviously not true. I think it's bonkers. The show itself, Go Nagai, in interviews, has said that he did this. Basically, it's two kids, Akiro and his friend Ryu, who's crazy, do a ceremony to fuse with a demon because Ryu finds out that there are demons in the world, and the only way to fight demons is to become a demon. Akira, who's more pure of heart, fuses with the demon in the anime, although in the...
Is there a character named Akira in every...
Yeah, it's a pretty common name. It's like John.
Okay.
In the manga, the concept was that the demon Amon, who's the king of the demons, killed Nakira on a hike with his parents, and then just took over his body. So it's a little bit darker, as opposed to fusing it to become basically a superhero type character. But even then, he can't really control it. He's a murderous demon, and then it's they're just kind of killing. They do a good job in the new Netflix series, which is just it's just kind of how the demons are. They're not necessarily good or bad. They're just they're just living. It'd be killing a... It'd be going a bear in the forest, eating a salmon, and then ripping it in half for eating the salmon. So going to guys look, the reason I wrote this is to show war is bad. Violence doesn't beat violence and evil doesn't beat evil. But the show, what you come to the show to watch is the aesthetics. It's really good. I recommend you watch the original OVA, when they turned into Devilman from 87, which was released on DVD in 2000, and again, it's free on YouTube. Just really good Japanese synth jazz, and everyone's wearing aviator glasses. You could make a music video with Ghost Bath in the background. Amazing. And the new series, I've seen the first three episodes. I think it's a 9-episode run or whatever they're doing. It's pretty loyal to the old show. Obviously, it's drawn differently, but it's still stylized. Like they don't go for the the modern trend of kind of everyone who looking the same, which is the modern trend of most animated shows. So I recommend it. Devilman, it's crazy. I also learned last night as I continue to like get into the it's so wacky. It's like, hey, that thing that you'd like randomly rant about to people that you'd like put on YouTube and be like, watch this, it's crazy, it's free. It's like I'm involved in that zeitgeist now on Twitter and so forth, like getting really hyped up about it. And I forgot, or I was never aware that Glenn Danzig has a Devilman tattoo on his lower back. He has a Devilman tramp stamp, which is bonkers. Anyway, Devilman Crybaby on Netflix. Watch it. Check out the Devilman OVAs on YouTube, including the last OVA I'm on, The Destruction of Devilman. Which was on pay-per-view in 2000.
Wow. Well, what are you going to do, though, if, like, I don't know, AMC announces an anime show in the future and everybody watches it like Game of Thrones?
I don't know. I mean, that'd be
fine.
Are
you going to be out on anime, or is that...
No, I don't think so. Like, I think I'm excited that people are watching this and liking it, because now I can be... There's so much there that I'm like, yeah, if you like this, you would like this. Like, when people were, like, starting to get into Lost, and I'm like, you know what you guys actually like? Cartoons. Like, if you like shows that are just mystery for mystery's sake, I got a whole genre for you. It's unbelievable. It's just so weird. It's like, yeah, I don't even know who owns it at this point. You know, like, it's just like, we'll do it. The follow-ups to Devilman are much, much weirder. An OVAs that I don't recommend are Violence Jack. Don't watch those. There's a lot of anime sexual assault. But hey, great shows, guys. Thanks, Netflix.
Well, something that I'm saying the Devilman.
It's a sweet
right
look.
Now.
Oh, here's what I wanted to do. I could have played this, but we're not hooked up because the thing screwed up. This is the original. Plug that bad boy in.
What is this?
This is the 70s intro.
Is this
right? Yeah, you could watch it like context free and just kind of you could literally watch it on with no sound and just appreciate like the insane visuals of the older show, which I think carries forward in the new show. Like, you could watch and be like, is this the background for like a creator video, because it's just like a demon ripping other demons in half? You could. So anyway, I was very excited.
Well, there you go. Something else that came out on Netflix yesterday that I was not, or yeah, yesterday. No, what is today? Friday. Was Before I Wake finally came out, a movie made in 2014, mm-hmm. starring Tom Jane and
The Punisher,
the original Punisher, and well, Katie Bosworth,
yep.
And made by Mike Flanagan, who's now known for movies like Hush and Gerald's Game, and what was the other one last year? Can't think of it. He also did Ouija, Origin of Evil. All good movies. He started out with a crowdfunded movie called Absentia, and then this was the second movie after that, or mm-hmm. his third movie after that. And it was one of the most disappointing experiences after so long.
Really?
Do you remember the show Nothing But Trailers?
No.
Did you ever watch that? It's like a show it's called Nothing But Trailers, and it's literally, it could be a half hour to 3 hours just of trailers coming out. Hmm. And all during 2016, they were showing the trailer for Before I Wake, and they got yanked from theaters. And finally got acquired by Netflix for U.S. release, and it was not good.
I mean,
unfortunately.
It probably was not in theaters for a reason, right?
I can't even remember what the whole story was, but yeah, like the very first time you see,
sometimes the producers are right.
I see. I don't even know if it was I don't know whose decision it was, but it was scheduled to come out.
Like, we're not gonna make any money off this. See,
it was all set to come out in 2016, and they yanked it at the last minute and replaced it with The Disappointments Room, which was even worse.
Ew.
But so the first time you see like the evil demon spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrifying. He's in the background, just kind of watching, and mm-hmm. it's like, this is going to be good, and then it's a slow downhill from there. So, it's already at the bottom of my 2018 list, even though I've only seen one movie.
Speaking of horror, I guess.
Insidious is out, though.
We watched the first episode of the new Twin Peaks, finally. Like
I haven't seen a single second of any
of
version.
Any Twin Peaks?
No.
I feel like you'd like it. The first, it lost a lot of the whimsy in the first episode, because it was like, it's on Showtime now, and they're like, well, I can show whatever I want. I can show nudity, I can show blood. It's very unsettling. We were watching it, and like it was honestly making Maggie sick because he has so many panning shots of like weird rooms from like a weird angle. And she's like, I'm getting nauseous. And I think it's intentional. So it's a good show.
Successful.
Yeah, good show. Great show.
Well, there you go. Some things to check out and to not check out. And if you want to chime in on Devilman or anything else,
call in on Devilman.
Number 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636 or 781-350-3264. And we got a bunch of brand new music. Very brutal show. We tease us.
Thank God.
On our social media channels.
Less ska focused. If you guys tuned into
the
New Year's Eve show.
Oh, you were loving that ska.
It was all ska.
You were skanking and
skanking around.
Circle pitting around the island there.
Playing a trumpet. Those days are over.
Give her what you wish for. We have metal we can get to that has trombones and trumpets in it.
That's
so
true.
Don't you worry. All right, anyway, so let's go international first, and then we'll come back to Boston. I should say outside Massachusetts first. So Watain has a new album, brand new album, Trident Wolf Eclipse.
Good.
And we're going to play the lead single of it called Sacred Damnation, and you're listening to Brutal Brunch here on WMFO Med for 91.5 FM. Streaming live on WMFO.org.
The beast of blood, the witch of night, unleash the dark. We're giving social media a makeover.
How many tries does it take to get the perfect photo?
The average girl spends 3 hours a day using social media.
48% of teens report feeling lonely and less confident in themselves after using social media.
After the iPhone release in 2007, the depression rate in teens spiked.
To learn how to make social media a more positive place, go to MediaGirls.org. Follow Media Girls on Instagram and use the hashtag MGMakeover.
We'll be right back.
That is the latest from the band Aviations. Local guys with an album coming out on January 19th called The Light Years. And that was the latest from them. That was Face Waves. Before that was brand new stuff from Upheaval. Their album is out now called Altar of Ash. And that song was Ascension. And I'm sorry, I lied. That album will be out next Friday, the 12th. They're having a record release show, which we'll get to in our full concert calendar. And before that, kicking off that little set was Watain, if that's how you pronounce the name, out of Sweden. A couple of black metal tracks to get things started. Of course, at the very start of the show, we had Stained and Mud Shovel.
So good. Yeah, Matt turned it on and he left. I'm like, wow, it's a new year. It's a new year. It's a new me. Still listen to Stained.
Hell yeah. All right, and now this.
Welcome to
This
Week in Metal History.
This Week in Metal, December 26th through January 7th, a very lean week, as you can imagine. Not a lot of stuff releases during the holidays. Here's something that I wasn't aware of, and now I kind of like. December 22nd, 2002, Manila Road releases the album Mark of the Beast. Manila Road, an American heavy metal band from Wichita, Kansas, formed in 1977. This album, Mark of the Beast, was actually...
If you tell me that there's a something called Mark of the Beast from the 70s and you like it, I know I'm not going to like it.
This album was actually written and released in 81, or finished in 81, but they didn't like it. And then the band kept touring and going around, and then they kind of kept going back to it and going back to it and going back to it. And re-released it in 2002. And it's like, it's good.
Pink Floyd?
It's chill. It's not that psychedelic-y. Let me zoom you forward. It honestly sounds more like a modern stoner band if you get here.
Okay.
I mean, this is 81. Like, I'm not joking around here. This is Triumvirate up of Manila Road's Mark of the Beast, and I like it. It's good. Ready? Wait till the lyrics kick in. It's good. He's gonna be like, ooh. Yeah.
Woo!
Okay. January 1st, 92, Sinister, death metal band from Schneidem, Netherlands.
You spell it with I's or Y's, like
it's
Sinister
spelled
Gates.
With an I. Released their debut album, Cross the Styx.
Wasn't that song just singing about it?
Yeah, this Styx is referenced twice in the Metal Countdown. It's good. It's death metal.
This is good.
It's early 90s death metal, so you're going to get
this
a lot of...
This isn't like that band that recorded Mental Patients, is it?
No, that's a black metal band. And that's like a couple years ago.
No, I know that. That just sound reminded me of that.
Ooh. Right?
Here you go.
Yeah, you're like, I always like, when I'm doing these things, I'm like, yep, okay, all right, yeah, here it is. That's what it is, okay. I do like that in some way about this genre of music in general, like metal in general, is like, it's like you can kind of, everything is different. Everyone has their own, like, unique snowflake take on something. Do you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, if you're like, I want this type of music, I want this type of vocals, you know there's a thing, there's like a shelf with like, all right, I want man who sounds like this, and I want drums that sound like this, and I want guitar that sounds like this. What is it? I guess it's death, and I want that. Yeah, there it is. It's like a la carte, like sound. You're like, I want these sounds today, or right now. That album, it kicks ass, obviously. January 1st, 1986, Street Lethal, the first American album by Racer X. It's very math rock. Speaking of like putting things on a shelf and taking them off a shelf.
Is this like a Nintendo or anime reference, Racer X? Or?
I don't think so. I mean, I guess it could be. Racer X is the bad guy from Speed Racer. Or is he the bad guy? Psych. It's actually Speed Racer's brother. It's good. This is kind of like a super group type thing where there's like a bunch of guys from different bands and stuff got together. It's very like I said, math heavy. It's very like precise metal from the 80s.
It's definitely 80s.
It's very 80s. January 2nd, 1996, Behemoth releases the album Grum. This album has a lot of keyboards on it. And in 2018, I've decided one of my New Year's resolutions is to forgive Nurgle for ripping on baby metal. It's a new year. It's a new me.
What if he does it again?
I mean, if he does it again, I mean, I can't deal with it. An interesting album from them. Obviously, like, they're kind of a lot of everything. It's like a little bit of black metal. It's Viking metal. It's death metal. He kind of does whatever they want in a way, which is interesting. And I guess this album, again, as I said, a lot of keyboards, a lot of electronic sounds, which I'll try to find for you, but... Anyway, Behemoth. They're good. They're good. That's a good band. That's a good band.
Saw them at Mayhem Festival one year.
Yeah.
I was waiting for All That Remains to start, and I saw them on the stage, and I was very scared of them. Back in my younger days.
I'm scared. Hey. Speaking of scared, January 2nd, 1985, speaking of supergroups, Thrasher released the album Thrasher.
Oh, no.
Woo! Actually, the name of this album is Burning at the Speed of Light. This is the song Bad Boys.
For life?
No. Just listen to how this goes, though. Huh? Huh? Hell yeah. Woo! I just pulled up in my T-top Camaro and Matt was like playing Dungeons and Dragons, so I gave him a wedgie. God, it rips so hard. Alright. Here you go. Excuse me. 2005, January 4th, 2005. Finnish heavy metal band Sentenced releases the album Amok. It's good. This is more your speed. This is the album where they began to emphasize the goth rock parts of their band, I guess. It's good. We'll let the lyrics kick in.
Nightmare on Elm Street style. Children Bodomish.
Right? Feeling better now after I played that Thrasher album? Okay.
You're talking about swings. I'm from the countdown last week. This is a lot of swings in metal history.
January 4th, 1988, LA Guns released their debut album, LA Guns. This is LA Guns with Nothing to Lose. I don't know anything about LA Guns except for every time you read about them, you're like, well, LA Guns is one of the bands that formed Guns N' Roses when they broke up and they joined with another band. Like, I think his album stinks, by the way. Like for like, as much as I rip on Guns N' Roses, like, I can see that they were doing something slightly different than what was happening at that time. Slightly different, by the way, because I want to point out that we've played bands on this very countdown from like 88 that I think were much harder and much more interesting than what Guns N' Roses was doing, you know, a couple years after that. I mean, this is... Whatever. That song goes out to all the dads fighting it out in family court. January 4th, 1962, happy birthday, the patron saint of brutal brunch, Peter Steele. I'm going to play all 9 minutes of September Sun because it's so good. Okay.
There it is.
Yeah, so good. God damn it. January.
We need like one of those. You know, they have those Last Supper parodies. Because like the famous painting of Last Supper. We need one of those for Brutal Brunch.
I want to get a
Peter Steele in the middle.
An airbrush T-shirt of our airbrush like big shirt. Like, remember in like in the Square One Mall and other malls, I would assume throughout
with, like,
America.
Tupac?
Yeah, you get like Tupac. But like mixed with like real gangsters on there, they'd be like, "Here's Tupac and here's like, like the Teflon Don. Here's like actual John Gotti. I'm like, I don't know if these are the same. One is an actor and a singer, and one is a criminal. Anyway, they were both lovingly airbrushed onto a huge T-shirt. So I would like an airbrushed T-shirt with Peter Steele, I guess Lemmy.
Who else is on Vito.
You're vetoing the shirt? Who's on your airbrushed? Or I guess your Last Supper. I don't want to ruin your idea.
I'll have to come up with it in the break.
All right.
Do they have to be dead?
Well, yes. No. No. I don't think they have to be dead.
I'll tell you what. If they had to be dead, somebody that forgot to mention at the top of the show that our Hall of Fame is back, and our Hall of Fame inductee would be on that picture.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he's in the side. He's like, he's talking to Jesus. He's like, he's doing this. He's leaning up with his hands.
Because he's a sinner.
That's right, he's a sinner. Ooh, maybe he's Judas. Maybe he's in the corner.
That's right, with his hand in the thing.
His hand in the thing. That's right, we went to Catholic school.
He dips the bread or whatever, yeah. Or puts his hand, yeah. There you go.
That's a good idea. I would buy a painting of this. January 6, 84, Anthrax released their album, Fistful of Metal. This is Panic off of Fistful of Metal. It sounds like an Anthrax song. Last album before they fired co-founding member and bass player Dan Lilker, who had actually formed the band with Scott Ian when they were both in high school.
There's no relation between him and Mitch Lilker, right?
Could be.
Daily Departed.
It's good. I like Anthrax. I mean, I like this type of music, so.
Oh, no.
What can I say?
I just said something really stupid. Never mind.
Matt
Lucker, not Lilker. I was confused. That's why I was confused them, because they have different last names, but I think they're the same. Anyway, continue.
Anyway, that's going to do it for this week's Metal History. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Also very lean.
A little background.
I'll accept that. Now, the week of 2 weeks of metal yet to come. Tonight, at O'Brien's Pub, you can see the Hazy Tones, Death Pesos, and Banshee. Great Scott is Vaulted, Ugly, Sick Minds, Kind Crew, and Isolations. Then jumping to next Friday the 12th, as we mentioned, at once, you can go to the Upheaval Record Release Show with Black Mass, Ritual Blade, and Untombed. At Bright Music Hall, it's Avatar, The Brains, and the Hell's a Poppin' Sideshow Review, which is probably going to be the best part of that show. See, like some Fire Eaters and stuff.
I do.
And Sword Swallowers. Middle East has Wolfsmith, Chuggernaut, who we are about to play, and Oh My the Moon. At Agawam Legion Post 185, a.k.a. The Tank, you can see Once We're Kings with 6 Foot Silence, Inverter, Audium, Orbitus, and Left Hand Backwards. Next Saturday at Ralph's, at Swarm of Eyes, Innocuous Arrival Cinema, and Miley Cyborg. At Crossroads Cafe, you can see Goblet, The Broken, The Days Ahead, and Cabin Pressure. At the Cove in Worcester, it's Thy Will Be Done, Devil Inside Us. Fall of Albatross, Hope Before the Fall. New stuff on the way from those guys. On Thursday, January 18th, it's Metal Thursday at Ralph's, Age of Embers, Perennial Quest, Golden Hall, and Adamantus. Friday the 19th at Orion's Pub, it's I Am Become Death, Pummel, Ritual Blade, Wreath of Tongues, Worst Days, Kind Crew. The Root Cellar, you can see Epicenter, Epilepsia, DC, Graviton, and Uncomfortables. And finally, in 2 Saturdays, January 20th, at the Middle East, it is Ramallah, Since the Flood, on Broken Wings, COA, Yellow Stitches, Can't Stand Losing, and Reined In. 13th Floor Music Hall has Voices in Vain, Maya Marsha, Gartlog, and Once Were Kings. And finally, at the Raven in Worcester, it's Metalcore at the Raven with Lucis, Noxi, Arena, False Ambitions, Death Amphetamine, In Elysium, No Escape, and Broken as One.
Wow.
Ugh. That's your metal calendar. Do you have a black metal song of the week, or do you want me to play?
I do.
Okay.
The black metal song of the week is...
Even though we've already played 2 black metal songs.
I was going to say, we've played a lot of black metal so far.
But this is the metal history black metal song of the week.
Yeah, so this is my black metal song of the week. This is actually a song, like, we did the top 100 countdown. And when I say we, I mean Matt did the top 100 countdown. And I agree with most of them. The one song that I would have liked to have been on there is Anst, Urban Tomb, off of the album Furnace that came out earlier this year, which I think we might have already played. We played something from Furnace, Black Metal Collective, Crestpunk, Anst. They're really good. So we're going to play Urban Tomb for this week's Black Metal Song of the Week. Ready?
Yep.
Hey, this is Amanda Palmer and the Grand Theft Orchestra, and you're listening to WMFO Mefod.